إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, today we will live for a short while with our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We will live with a precious advice from him. However, this advice comes only with a stipulation, with a string attached. Not this string, or this stipulation is not from me, rather from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam himself. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he gave this advice, he conditioned. He said, "Who is there who is ready to take these words of advice from me and act upon them, or teach others to act upon them?" So I want all of us, inshallah, today to hear these words of advice with this intention, with the intention that we are going to act on these words of advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and convey them to others, so that inshallah the benefit will spread to all Muslims. Dear brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates the hadith which was recorded by Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يأخذ عني هذه الكلمات فيعمل بهن أو يعلم من يعمل بهن. قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه أنا يا رسول الله. فأخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيدي وعد خمسا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, who is there to learn from me these words of advice and teach or act upon them, or teach others to act upon them? And Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu said, I will do that, O Messenger of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took by the hand of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and he listed five words of advice. The first of which was, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. This was the first word of advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beware of the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be the most devout worshipper. If you desire to be a pious person, a righteous person, a person who is recorded in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as abid, then stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important part of piety. Why? Because when we stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our record remains clean, pure. So whatever other deed we do, it will cause our reward to be great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cause it to grow and be blessed, there will be a barakah in it. And if you want to think about example that may illustrate this for us, take the example of somebody who is trying to fill water in a bucket. Now the person who is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sinning at the same time is like a person who is filling water in a bucket that has a big hole in it. It does not retain water. The person who is abstaining from sinning and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time is a person who is filling water in a whole bucket, and therefore his record will be filled with words and with good deeds. Dear brothers and sisters, staying away from the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of benefit for the person and the community in general, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He legislated laws, when He prohibited certain things, He did this based on His knowledge, based on His wisdom, based on His mercy. And the ultimate goal of the maxims of the Islamic law, Islamic Sharia, is serving the greater interest of the Muslim community, or rather all humanity. This is the ultimate purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do this and not to do this for our own sake and for the sake of our own community. And therefore, when we stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these prohibitions are limited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has detailed them. وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed detailed for us the prohibitions, and all of us know these prohibitions, like a shirk, committing shirk, like عقوق الوالدين, being, do not talk in when will the Jum'ah is in process. Please, everybody who is talking, please abstain from talking. This is one of the etiquettes of Jum'ah. When we are in Salatul Jum'ah, then it is an obligation for everybody, young or old, to listen attentively to the khutbah and not talk. So the point is, these prohibitions are known to all of us. Shirk, sariqa, stealing, zina, fornication, riba, usury, qatil, killing, all of these prohibitions that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. That whoever honors these prohibitions, the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better for him in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means Allah has prepared for him an abundant good to receive on the in the hereafter. And this is something that is very important, because we always are conscious concerning the rewards that we get when we perform a good deed. However, in many cases we are heedless that if we are steadfast in abstaining from drinking liquor or committing fornication or the things that we all usually stay away from, we will be rewarded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who is who persevere and do not commit the haram, he is constantly earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we need to keep in mind. In addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَدِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever calamity befalls you is because of what you have done. So these sins are damaging, and these sins cause us to receive punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in form of calamities or disasters or civil war or fighting between people, lack of security. All these troubles or all these hardships that we sometimes pass through are related to our behavior and are related to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the first and the foremost advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس. Stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be the most devout worshipper. Now, what does it take to stay away from prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It doesn't take any action, right? It takes a lack of action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah is not asking much from us, just for us to stay away from doing something. It's not doing, he is not asking us to do something, rather to stay away from these things that are basically in reality and according to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are harmful for ourselves and for our the community and for humanity in general. The second piece of advice, and that is the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Be content with the share that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you in this life and you'll be the richest person. Many people are not satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Many people complain. Many people they don't feel the fulfillment because of what they don't have. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be content, accept the share that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for you." And this is very important to note, that who is the one who is dividing a sustenance between people? Who is the one who is dividing wealth between people? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we keep this in mind, we know that it is Allah who decided that I have this much, then we be content. And we should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decided the affairs of the Muslim, He decided in a manner to serve His better interest. Sometimes it is better for a person to have limited amount of money, because richness for a specific person may lead him to corruption or her to corruption. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this limited limitation, it is for the better and the best interest of the person. And therefore, one should be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, knowing, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tattahim qada' Allah fik." Do not suspect the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning your affair. Because whatever it is better for you. A believer is always in a win-win situation. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. Whether a calamity befalls him or a bounty is descend upon him, it is something good for him if he alternate between perseverance and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the bounty He has given. Dear brothers and sisters, many people don't feel satisfied, even those who may have millions of dollars, because it is part of our nature to ask for more and more and more. There is nothing that can satisfy our greediness as a human being, and therefore one should be content. And one should always look at those people who are less fortunate than he is or she is. This way one can appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, he said, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. He said, for you to appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, always look at those people who are less fortunate, has less than you in terms of worldly gains, in terms of worldly gains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He said, من أصبح آمنا في سربه معافا في بدنه عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. That the person who wakes up in the morning feeling well, he's healthy, he's feeling well, he has no sickness, with him the sustenance of this day. And he wakes up in his home. This person is very so blessed. It's as if this person has owned all the dunya and whatever it contains. When we are not satisfied, we keep seeking more. We keep feeling. We keep seeking fulfillment. We keep feeling that we are in need to have more. And this is when the person becomes needy, even if he is rich. Becomes needy, even if he is rich. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ وَإِنَّمَا الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That richness is not by possessing a mass wealth. Rather, richness is the richness of the heart. And how often we see rich people who are poor. Poor. Okay, rich people who are poor because they feel that they need more and more, and they need to compete with so and so and so and so. They need to reach to the level of so and so and so and so. The third piece of advice Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave in this hadith: وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. Be kind to your neighbor, and you will be a true believer. Be kind to your neighbor and you will be a true believer. See the connection between belief and righteous deed, because they are twin. They are often mentioned in the Quran in conjunction with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also always mention iman and amal salih. And here he chose a very righteous deed, and that is being kind, dutiful, respectful, honoring to your neighbor. And this is very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. As Bukhari and Muslim recorded that Jibreel constantly remind me of the right of the neighbor, so much so that I thought that he is going to be among the heirs of the person. So along with your daughters and sons who inherit from you, I thought that the neighbor will have the right to inherit from his neighbor. This is how great the right of neighbors are. And the right of neighbor is a right of neighbor, whether he is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether he is a Jewish, Christian or Muslim, still he has right on us. As a matter of fact, when it comes to a non-Muslim neighbor, there is a double duty and double responsibility towards him, because he has the right to of neighborhood, and also he has the right to receive the message from us, and we have the obligation of reflecting a good image of Islam to our neighbor. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu slaughtered a sheep, and he told his servant to distribute it to all neighbors. And he told him that we have a Jewish neighbor. He told him, start with him. Start with that Jewish neighbor. So honoring the neighbor is for all, because of the right of neighborhood. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people to be, because when neighbors are fighting, there is no community. There is no society. There is no solid platform where life can exist. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the right of the neighbor very great. Now, the least one can do is to abstain from harming neighbors. And there is, it's one thing to be good and dutiful to your neighbor, and another thing is to, the least that is expected from us is not to hurt or harm our neighbors. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith five words of advice. The first was اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس. Stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be the most devout worshipper. The second, ارضى بما قسم الله لك. تكن أغنى الناس. Be content with whatever share Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and you'll be the richest of people. And the third was وأحسن إلى جارك تكن مؤمنا. And be kind to your neighbor and you will be a true believer. And the fourth is وأحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك تكن مسلما. And love for people that which you love for yourself and you will be a true Muslim. This is because this is a sign of a clear, clean, pure heart. A heart that is void of jealousy, void of hatred, void of animosity, void of ill feeling toward others. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do that, you will be a true Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفس. This is one of the rights of the believers, that none of you truly believes until you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. And this means by implication that none of you truly believe until you hate for your Muslim brother what you hate for yourself. Again, this is one of the rights of the Muslims toward each other. And we nowadays, we have a series addressing this, the issue of the rights of the Muslims towards one another under the title of the contract of brotherhood. And I invite all of you, inshallah, to attend tomorrow. We have the fourth part of it. So please attend tomorrow, inshallah, after Salatul Isha to hear more about these rights of the Muslims toward one another. Now, the last piece of advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is وَلَا تُكْثِرْ مِنَ الضَّحِكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحِكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Do not laugh excessively, for indeed excessive laughter causes the heart to die. Now I pause for a long time before this hadith, trying to understand these words of the Prophet ﷺ, because many of us, we really misunderstand this part of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Some people may think that, oh, this means that Islam is against having fun and being happy, but forgetting that having fun and being happy is not synonymous to excessive laughter. Rather, it has nothing to do with this. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us to abstain from laughing excessively, this means by implication that we are permitted to laugh moderately. So the instruction is against extremism in laughing. And if you think about it, you will find that most of the time excessive laughter is associated with something that's haram, either drinking or lying or mockery of someone or backbiting of someone or all the above. In most of the time it is associated with something that is prohibited, and it is a sign of a heedless heart, a heart that is not constantly conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and constantly in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the best model when it comes to behavior and worship is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that أطت السماء وحق لها أن تأط ما فيها موضع أربعة أصابع إلا وفيه ملك واضع جبهته ساجدا لله سبحانه وتعالى. He said the heaven is squeaking, it's making noise, but we don't hear this noise. And this noise is because of the immense number of the angels who are in the heavens worshipping Allah. So many angels that there is not a space of four fingers, but there is in it an angel who is falling into prostration, putting his forehead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said after that, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَا ضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَا بَكِيتُمْ كَثِيرًا. By Allah, if you know what I know, you would laugh little and you would weep a lot. If you know what I know, if we know what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about the realities of life, about the realities of what to come after life, about the reality of what awaits the person in the grave or on the day of resurrection, the realities of the hellfire and the suffering and the severity of the punishment of the hellfire. If we know that and we are conscious of that, how could a person laugh all the time? How could a person laugh excessively? And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said that you would not even enjoy mating with your wives. This is what he said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked Jibreel, he said, "Mali la ara Mikail dahikan qat? How come I never saw Mikail laughing?" He said, "Ma dahika Mikail mundu khalaqa Allahu an-nar." That Mikail never laughed ever since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hellfire. Ever since the creation of the hellfire, this angel never. When we're talking about Muhammad and Jibreel and Mikael, we're talking about people of knowledge and angels of knowledge. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most knowledgeable human being ever. And Jibreel is the chief of the angels, and he is telling something that is beyond. He is telling us, giving us a window to see al-ghayb, to see the condition of these angels. That one of them is not laughing because of his knowledge about the hell fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in the hadith, which was recorded by Al-Hakim, he said, "Inna tarfa sahib al-sur mundu wukila bihi musta'iddun yanzuru nahwa al-arshi makhafata an yu'mara qabla an yartadda ilayhi tarfu." He said that the eye of the angel who is assigned to blow into the trumpet is wide open. The eye is widely open, looking towards the throne of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and waiting, being ready for fear. He does not blink for fear that the command of Allah may come to him while he is blinking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kayfa an'am? Kayfa an'am wa qad iltaqama sahibu al-qarn al-qarn wa anaha jabhatahu wa asgha sawtahu mata yu'maru bin nafkhi fayanfukh." He said, "How could I enjoy myself while I know that the angel who is assigned to blow into trumpet has already put his lips on the trumpet, waiting
for the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to blow in the trumpet, in the sur, marking the end of the world. How could I know? How could I enjoy myself after that? And finally, I'll end by this hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَرَرْتُ بِجِبْرِيلَ يَوْمَ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِي بِالْمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَى وَهُوَ كَالْحِلْسِ الْبَالِ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. During the journey of Al-Mi'raj, I passed by Jibril and I saw him. He was like a torn fabric, a worn fabric, torn apart because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is, excessive laughter is not harmonious with a heart that is knowledgeable about Allah, that know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is conscious of the realities of what to come. And also it is not harmonious with a serious nation, a nation with a mission, a nation whose business in this world is to worship Allah alone and to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not harmonious with a nation, an ummah, which has a plight like the plight from which we are suffering nowadays. Everyone of us is responsible. History tells us Salahuddin never smiled. Salahuddin never smiled until he liberated Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So, therefore, we, dear brothers and sisters, we have to understand our responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know that we share this responsibility. Again, dear brothers and sisters, this instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to prohibit extremism, because we said that by implication it means that laugh moderately, and this was the practice of the Prophet. He laughed and he used to smile a lot. Nowadays we frown a lot, okay? And when we laugh excessively. This is what we do, exactly opposite to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Smile a lot, because your smile at the face of your Muslim brother is what implants the love between the Muslims, and therefore it's good that we smile all the time at each other, and laugh when the occasion calls for it. But this instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, abstain from excessive laughing, for indeed laughter causes the heart to die. When the heart dies, the tool by which we can see our way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be damaged. That's it. We will not recognize right from wrong, and salahul al-abd bi salahi qalbi, that the righteousness of that person is by the righteousness of his heart. So if he's dead, he is dead. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.